Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamara. Here's Jen Latta.
Closing the loop on the conversation we were having, Chew, of what happens if the Packers lose against the Bears. Is anybody going to be fired? Anything like that? Ryan from Milwaukee chimes in on the Carpool's talking text line, 800-990-3776. Every fan base in the division wants Green Bay to fire their coach. This season is as much, if not more, on Goody. It was GM malpractice to put those cornerbacks on the field all year. But I don't think Goody's going anywhere. You know, if Goody's not going anywhere, I just feel like LaFleur's not going anywhere. And this is the team that they are going to entrust. Now, I'll give you this, Chew. No matter what happens, I am curious to see what the contract offers are for both. Not that we usually get those details, but I'm guessing these details might get leaked of what the contract offer is for how long. That I'm interested in.
Who gets more? Or do they get the exact same?
Just give them the exact same contract. I don't know. I guess I don't know what the average general manager salary is. Because that's not something you really talk about, right? We talk about head coaches and how much they get paid. And, you know, you remember the 10-year, $100 million contract that John Gruden got when he became the head coach of the Raiders. That information leaks. Very rarely do you hear what GMs are making.
Yeah, they're up there. They're not as much as head coaches.
Head coaches are making more than GMs, right? Which is weird because the GMs are the bosses in most instances. But again, I think that's going to be interesting.
I don't know how you go about doing this. I mean, you've had two disappointing seasons back to back. I mean, who would be a comp? Who right now, who would be a comp in the league that LaFleur would be paid similar to?
I don't know. I don't know who the comp.
Would it be middle of the pack? Would it be?
He's going to argue he deserves top five money because if he's going to sign something long term, that's going to be resetting the market, da-da-da-da-da. Like, Matt LaFleur here actually found himself with leverage, I believe.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do? Right, let him walk and not sign him? Hell no. That'd be crazy.
Because, again, if he hit the open market, he would be one of the most in demand, and he would get whatever he asked for.
Yes, exactly. So him and his agent are going to use that. They know that. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, but Ed Policy's a no-nonsense guy. What if he doesn't offer him what he wants? I mean, LaFleur could be like, nah, I'll just play this year out. And
Yeah, certainly possible.
Because I tell you who would love to have him down here. They want Bowles out. They would love to have LaFleur.
Yeah, I think a lot of places would, too, and I think that becomes the issue. And if you are, I will say this, if you are Ed Policy and you offer a contract and Matt LaFleur basically says, no, I'm cool playing out the final year, I think you have to fire LaFleur. Because I think LaFleur coaching out 1 year on a contract, it's not good for anybody. That's bad for everybody. And I feel that could blow up in your face. Which is why you kind of are going to have to eventually kind of give Matt LaFleur what he wants.
If Matt LaFleur became available via contract ending or even being in a spot where he'd get fired, like, teams would consider firing the guy they probably already told was going to stick around for at least another year. That's how valuable.
All right, let me ask you this. What if Tampa offered two first-round picks for LaFleur? What? Hello? I'm trying to think.
I don't know how to value.
Who was the last?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I don't think a team would do that. But if
well,
they
what'd
did,
they do for Gruden? Was Gruden the last one?
I think Gruden's the last. Well, technically the Broncos, I'd have to maybe... We can look this up at some point. The Broncos, I think, had to give up something for
Sean Payton.
But I don't think it was that much. Because, Payton had retired, but there was, still stuff left on his contract. So I think the Saints had his rights.
Would you take two first-round picks for LaFleur?
Excuse me?
John Gruden was traded from the Oakland Raiders to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002 for two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and $8 million in cash.
Would you do it, Gabe?
Nobody's going to offer that for any coach.
Not what I asked.
No, because I would want at least the John Gruden deal.
Yeah, two firsts, 2 seconds, and $8 million in cash.
I think most people would do it.
I don't think I would. I think Matt LaFleur is a really good coach. I've got my issues with him, too.
I think he's a really good coach, too.
I've got my issues with him. He's not perfect. I've got my complaints. But I think the positives overwhelmingly outweigh the negatives.
I think he's a very good offensive coach. I'm starting to question how good of a head coach he is. We know he's a good play caller, coordinator.
Yep. What makes you say that?
I don't know. The Bears game will.
Well, no, but you're wondering... So why are you wondering if he's a good head coach? Because the reason why I asked that, Chu, is I'm just wondering what your rationale is, because I see some of the generic things that people will say on the Carbless Talk and Text line of, mm-hmm. oh, he's not a leader of men and things like that. But I'm just curious from your perspective as somebody who played for a long time in the league, who knows what good coaching looks like and what good coaching feels like, I think your perspective is valuable. I'm curious what makes you feel that way.
I'm saying it from the standpoint is if – they don't even have to get blown. If the Packers don't look good against the Bears,
yeah.
it would lead me to believe that he lost this locker room
okay.
a little while ago.
And I think that would be, again, retroactively something that it's obvious that doing what they did and resting everybody was a bad idea.
Yeah.
If you come out flat against Chicago.
I would not have done that. Especially with Jordan. How many games? 2.5?
Yeah, it's basically 2.5 games that, yeah, he has not played.
2.5 games. I would have played him a little bit just to keep him sharp. Nothing crazy. Protect him. You know.
Yeah.
Because like I said last week, Gabe, I've been on stretches where I've missed. Takes a little bit to get back up to the speed of things.
You've even talked about when you guys got byes. Obviously, you guys got the bye in 96 and 97, mm-hmm. the years that you guys went to the Super Bowls. Like you said, it took like a quarter. And I mean, the first game back in 96 for you guys was not even a real football game because of how much it was raining and the field literally had to be replaced. But you said it took you a quarter as a team to try to kind of get to where you wanted to be. And it was a slow start against the Niners in that first game after you got the bye.
Yeah, we were not sharp in that game offensively. I mean, that game, a lot of it was Desmond getting this field position. I mean, eventually, as the game went along and it turned in kind of a rushing type of offense.
I think Brett only threw like 10. I think Brett threw like 10 or 12 passes in that game.
So there is something to that. And I'm anticipating Jordan coming out, maybe first series or two, being a little rusty. I don't care what you say about practice. This time of year, Gabe, practice isn't even close to.
Oh, playoff football? Yeah.
It's not.
What are some things you can do? Are there like easy throws or easy things that you can do as an offense to try to fight that rust and maybe shake it off a little bit quicker? Or is it just, hey, this is the way it is and you got to fight through it?
Well, the bread and butter throws. I told you. I don't, you know, the out routes early in games, mm-hmm. it's just, we call it pitch and catch. Come on, this is just pitch and catch. Short throws, slants to the tight end to get yourself comfortable. You do the same thing in the Super Bowl because, I mean, your nerves are so elevated at the start of the game. You got to get hit a couple times and then it calms you down. So, I'm anticipating some rust. There'll be a little bit of rust.
If you lean on the run game in the first quarter, does that kind of help? If you can run the ball? Because I feel like the... Again, like passing the ball, there's just more, and again, this is probably the wrong way to put it, but throwing the ball, to me, there's more skill, right? There's skill in throwing the ball, being accurate, footwork, receiver, having their footwork, route, all of that. Whereas I look at running, again, there's certainly skill involved there, but it's also more like just brute strength, right? Well, you're trying to move another guy. So is it easier, if you ease your way in, if you can get the running game going early, does that help shake off the rust and kind of give you some easier throws off the play action? I'm just trying to think of the best ways for the Packers to avoid this slow start that we're fearful of.
Yeah, mix it up. The passing game is all timing.
Yeah.
That's really when you're not scheming guys open, which is tough to do because, you know, at this point in the season, everyone's seen
everything. You got no new tricks
it's
in the book.
It's tough to scheme. Yeah, so that's timing. Rushing attack. Will certainly help. But then, defensive coordinators aren't stupid, and Allen's a pretty good D coordinator over there.
Most defensive coordinators aren't stupid. Let's just put it that way.
That's fair.
I think there have been dumb ones over the years.
What do we is Adunze going to play? I know he didn't play against the Lions, but they said he practiced during the week.
Yeah, I don't know.
They said he practiced during the week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, Chu. I do not know what his availability is ultimately going to be. Obviously, Burden has come back, and he's been playing for them. Yeah. But I think we're going to have to, for Adunze, we're going to have to wait and see as the week progresses. My guess is that he's going to be available, but, I mean, when's the last time he played at this point? You want to talk about rust?
Yeah. No, I agree.
You know, so that's, I think that's something to keep an eye on, certainly on that end. For the Packers, injury-wise, it seems like the one injury that they had yesterday, because, again, you can't rest all of your starters, right? So, I think that they're going to be, I don't think there's going to be any sort of significant injury for the Packers. Javon Bullard had a knee injury, but he said he just hyperextended it a little bit, felt fine after the game, and he thought he could have returned, but precautionary that they kept him out.
What'd you think of Diggs? I didn't think he was great in coverage, but he had a few nice tackles where he came up and actually got the guy down.
And he only played like 50% of the snaps, Chu. It seemed like they took him out as the game went along, so I don't know if they saw what they thought they needed to see from him. I would be shocked if he played a significant role.
Really?
Yeah. Now, if they want somebody, if they feel like the Bears are running the ball too much and they want somebody in there for Carrington Valentine, who's not a very good tackler.
Yeah.
Maybe they put in Diggs a couple of different times on early downs, but I would be shocked if he's playing a big role just because you have your top two. Now, again, if there's an injury, then maybe he's the next one in. You know, if there's an injury to Keyshawn Nixon, if there's an injury to Carrington Valentine, maybe he's the next one in. But I think there would have to be an injury for him to play a significant role next week.
Okay. All right. I thought he played decent for just showing up during the week.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for just showing up during the week. Yeah. But I didn't see enough out of him, Chu, where I'm going, yep, put him in. He should be starting over Valentine or Nixon.
Yeah.
I didn't get to that point. Or Bullard, because Bullard's your nickel in a lot of those situations. But there was another good thing, I think, out of the defense yesterday. Talk about that when it comes to the Green Bay Packers coming up next. But I do want to tell you about our friends at Mentality Health, because if you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality is here to help. If you have lower energy or motivation, you have fatigue, just kind of feel tired all the time, weight gain or muscle loss, especially around the belly area, you feel anxious, moody, irritable, those are all signs of low testosterone, and that's where Mentality can step in and help. A local healthcare facility specializing in helping men feel and perform at their very best. Well, how do they do that? They focus on your free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can overlook, ensuring your treatment is tailored to your body. I have loved working with Mentality ever since I have. I've started to feel some of these great results that I'm about to talk about. Energy, yep, that's come back for me. Belly fat burns off, your muscle strengthens, especially as you increase your workouts. You start to feel like yourself again. You're confident, driven, ready to tackle life. You just don't have, again, that general haze. And as much work as I can be putting in on a regular day, having that energy, incredibly important to me. And I'm sure it's just as important for you. So what are you waiting for? Don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be at the best, not just for yourself, but for your family as well. Go to mentalityhealth.com/radio, mentalityhealth.com/radio, to book your first appointment today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I just figured if I got the yellow ones from Mexico, I could slip those in without her. Did you know the Viagra in Mexico is yellow?
Had no idea.
Yeah.
Wait, can you just paint it? You just drop it in a little food coloring?
You probably
and call
could,
it a
like
egg?
An egg. I'm going to try that.
Easter has a new meaning in the Chimura household.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Curious what you think of this, Chu. So, courtesy of Next Gen Stats, part of the NFL arm of statistics. Breton Cox yesterday had 5 pressures, including a sack. Colin Oliver had 4 on only 15 pass rushes. And Baron Sorrell had 3, including a sack. If there's anything that could be taken out of yesterday's game, I think it's those guys. If they got some snaps over Rashawn Gary, I don't think anybody would be mad. Would you?
I certainly wouldn't. No. They had a lot of energy playing to the whistle. I thought both of them played pretty darn good. I mean, we went on a run of games here where they didn't have any sacks.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the energy they brought. And clearly, Gary, over the last several games has not showed that. So I would not have a problem if they play a significant amount of time against the Bears on Saturday. I thought the defense, for the most part, played okay. Now their quarterbacks aren't the greatest, but I thought they played okay. I thought their game plan was good.
Yeah, I mean, for a team of mostly, now again, it wasn't all backups because you did have, I mean, Evan Williams was out there in base, and you had to have some starters out there just because you can't rest all of your starters with the way it works in the NFL. But for a team of mostly backups, I thought they acquitted themselves well against a team that was mostly playing their starters.
Yeah, which goes to having a strong roster. I mean, I thought that the defense held up their end of the donkey. Mm-hmm. I don't think the offense did at all. Obviously, it's a lot of that starts with the quarterback.
Well, the quarterback in the offensive line.
Yes.
Not that I think he would have done better with more time, but it would have been nice to see if he could have had a little bit of time to throw the football.
How do you think Monk was okay. He's not going to move anyone, but he's fairly athletic.
Maybe I'm wrong about this. You can tell me if I'm wrong. But personally, I prefer if my offensive lineman can move someone. I think that's a part of the job.
Yeah. But he's still young. He's only in his second year. I mean, based upon what we saw last year and this year in camp.
I mean, he was probably,
I thought he improved a little bit.
He was probably better at center than he was at guard.
My concern is, like I said, Jordan Moore. To me, he just looks too big. He doesn't move well out there. That one time where he just got, where he didn't even get a hand on the guy. I don't know about the Dallas Turner sack
where he was lined up over the tight end who whiffed the, what was that guy's name?
No, Darby.
Dabney.
Yeah.
Dabney. I don't know. That'd be a big concern of mine. Is him going into the season playing left tackle.
Well, problem is, Chew, I don't know how many other options you got out there.
Why? What do you think Rashid's going to get on the open market?
More than the Packers want to pay him?
15 a year.
You think he'll get
10
that
to
much?
15 a year? Chewy, the
no,
left...
No, I think he's good. Do I think he's great? No.
But somebody's going to pay him to play left tackle, and left tackles are expensive. That's a cheap left tackle.
Yeah.
If you get somebody for 10 to 15 mil. Don't think the Packers want to pay that. Don't think they want to dedicate the resources to it. They've got a first-round pick. If that one doesn't work out, they have another second-round pick that they use this year on Anthony Belton.
Yeah.
They're going to find somebody to play left tackle. And it's not going to be Rashid Walker.
Okay.
Rob Domofsky, he was up in Minnesota yesterday. Although he told us on the pregame show, he's not sure why, because it was such a preseason game. The story that appeared on ESPN.com after was something that he had written a while ago. Wasn't even a game recap, but he was there. He'll help us recap the game, plus look forward to the Bears coming up next. But from the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game. It's 6 minutes, no more. No less. It's Bucks in 6 in the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the big blocks from Miles Turner and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now at bucks.com/plus, Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's a click below dump?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I'm
good
getting
good
at.
Pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word
don't
is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We will continue to effort to get Rob Domofsky. I know this is the time he typically joins us, but again, there's always a little bit of travel, trying to work his way back. If we can't get Rob to join us today, we'll try to have him join us later in the week and prepare. Did you, Chewy, ever play a Saturday game in the playoffs?
I don't believe so.
I'm just curious how tough that is, knowing, and now you have a short week. All of a sudden, you've got a short week now, right? Like, you play on Sunday. Yeah, make all the jokes you want. Packers didn't really play on Sunday. It was the JV Packers, yada, yada, yada. But last night at halftime of Steelers-Ravens, they found out, just like we all did, that they're going to be playing on Saturday night. Now it's going to be a short week. And I got to imagine that the playoffs are a stressful time. Now having one last day to prepare, I got to imagine that adds to the stress level.
Yeah, it's not great. The weirdest thing that happened to us in the playoffs is we went to Detroit. Did we lose? And then had to go back there the next week and play there again.
Yeah, in 1994.
That was weird. And we were about to lose that game until George Ice Teague had an interception for like 100 yards and turned the game around.
Yeah, and that you guys won last second in that. So you lost the week before to Detroit 30-20 and then beat the Lions 28-24.
Yeah.
And one of my first memories as a Packers fan is Brett throwing that touchdown pass to Sterling.
Was that in the playoff game?
That was the playoff game, yeah.
Okay.
That was to win the game because there was like a minute left. And I think the safety just didn't think a quarterback could throw it that far because Brett rolled all the way to the left and Sterling's going down the right sideline.
Yeah.
And Brett just hucked one down there.
And it was funny because I remember Brett's reaction. I don't know if it was in the next day meetings or whatever. I forget if it was. I think it was one of the coaches said, "Why would you throw that ball?" And Brett just said, "Because I can."
it's a good answer. You're asking.
Yeah, I mean, how else are you going to answer that, right?
Why would you throw that? Because he was open and I can't.
Yeah. No, the short weeks stink.
But I guess it's got to help out that it's not like you're playing a common opponent. You've played them twice. You've played them recently. It's not even like last year where, you played the Eagles first game of the season and now you're playing in the playoffs. But, I mean, first game of the season, that's so much time in between. Having the fact that it's the Bears in a short week, I got to imagine played into the thinking of the NFL to put this game on Saturday night. Of, okay, yes, we're taking a day of preparation away, but these two teams know each other so well. You know, it's not like you're putting, the Steelers and the, Texans on Saturday night. You know, it's not necessarily a common opponent and things like that. So I got to imagine this being a divisional game kind of played into that factor.
I mean, I would have to say Chicago's got more juice going into this game just because the way their season played out. The Packers season was clearly a disappointment. Blame it on whatever you want. So from the mental standpoint, I mean, how many guys in the locker room really don't give a crap?
I don't.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's hard, Gabe, when when you're a team like this and there's so much expectations, there's so much Super Bowl talk, to get to a place where you finish the season 9-7-1, I mean, it's human nature to creep into your head saying, everyone likes to blame everything, but you're like, dude, can we really win a Super Bowl?
But what, so the Bears are delusional and they think they can win a Super Bowl?
No, they know they can't, but they know that this is such a big game, rival, home.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers know that too. Like, I mean, I guess I just push back on the notion.
Who do you think has more juice, though, going into this game?
Maybe the Bears, but again, they haven't been playing well over the last 3 weeks either.
No.
You know, like I wouldn't say that they should be feeling good about that. Again, my dream situation going into yesterday was, okay, I know the Packers are going to lose. They punted on this game. They're starting Clayton Tune. But if both the Bears, because the Bears were the team that I want, I think the Packers have a better chance of beating the Bears. I think the Packers would have been dogs had they gone into Philadelphia because I think that defense is really good. But, you know, the Bears played everybody yesterday because they wanted to get that number two seed. They wanted to earn it on their own. And they lost. They lost to the Lions. They lost to the Niners the week before.
Yeah.
You know, I think that they're trending in a not great direction either. I think my dream scenario was that the Eagles, who have to be kicking themselves today because they decided to sit and rest everybody, they lose to the Commanders. The Bears lose to the Lions. Packers still get the Bears, but it's not like the Bears went in and beat anybody coming into this game.
That's why I'm looking at it from a juice standpoint. And it'll tell me if LaFleur lost this locker room years ago. Because I'll, you know where I immediately go to, Gabe, is the Dallas game, right? three or four years ago, where they went into Dallas.
Yep.
Dallas was really good. Dallas was favored, and Green Bay went in there and kicked the ever-living crap out of them, right? Do you see that happening?
I do not.
Do you see the same juice?
But I don't see the Bears kicking the crap out of the Packers either.
No, I don't either.
But I think this is going to be a close game regardless. Like, I don't see Packers blowing out the Bears. I don't see the Bears blowing out the Packers.
Yeah.
Mostly because I don't think either team's good enough to do it.
Yeah. I just hope defensively, what Halfley saw yesterday, if Gary ain't showing juice, put these young guys in.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Put guys in there that just want to play, fly around to the ball. Going to make mistakes. That's fine.
But I guess
but
I'm okay
effort.
With the mistakes. Yeah, exactly. I'm okay with the mistakes as long as the effort is there.
Yeah.
Because it feels like it's been a weekly occurrence now where you just kind of see Rashawn Gary jogging lightly after he thinks that, oh, well, he got by me. Might as well just kind of jog this one out.
Yeah.
So put in somebody who might make a play. Yeah, maybe they make a mistake too, but hey, maybe they make a play defensively. And I guess even though it was the backups, I just feel better that they may have corrected some of the things that went wrong against Baltimore.
Yeah.
I know Aaron Jones didn't play, but Jordan Mason still had a pretty solid season for the Vikings. And it's not like the Vikings ran the ball all that great yesterday.
No. But so, Chicago's going to play better, Gabe. They're not going to play like they did yesterday. Ben Johnson's too good of a coach. I'm not going to say they're going to light the world on fire, but they did score 38 against San Fran and San Fran the week prior, so... to me, it's just how they show up.
Well, and honestly, Chew, to me, Detroit had their success yesterday against Chicago because the Bears only had 3.6 yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
One of their biggest runs was a Luther Burden end around.
Yeah.
Right? Like, their running back, DeAndre Swift, had 10 carries for 40 yards. Kyle Manungai, 6 carries for 14 yards. If you can stop the run, I think that's how you stop the Bears. It prevents Caleb Williams from getting comfortable, getting into the play action stuff that they want to do. Stop the run, win the game. It might just be that simple for me.
Yeah. Well, it's not. I can tell you this. It won't be a pleasant week of practice for the Bears. And it shouldn't be a pleasant week of practice for Green Bay. It's just going to – this is big for Chicago, Gabe. It's big. You know why it's big? Because they're delusional.
Well, no, it's big because they had a great season, Chew, right? They go 11-6, they win the division. But now you have to back it up. Like, what's it matter if you go 11-6 and win the division if you lose to the team that finished in second place in the division right away in the playoffs?
I agree, but you have to tip your hat to Chicago.
Oh, 100%. But what I'm saying is why it's a big week for Chicago is because now you have to back it up.
Yes.
Because a lot of the conversations we had about the Bears throughout the course of the season will continue into the offseason and next season if the Packers win this game. Okay, nice you won the division, but you didn't win a playoff game.
Yeah.
When the cards were on the table, when everything, when all the chips were in the middle, couldn't win the playoff game, couldn't win that big one.
How much better is Green Bay on paper? 1 point?
On paper, on a neutral field?
Neutral site, they're 3.5, 4.
According to Vegas.
Okay.
And a lot of that, fair? A lot of that, I think, is the quarterback.
Yes,
I think Jordan Love is 3 to 4 points better than Caleb Williams. Other than that, I mean, again, like depending upon how you feel about Rome Odunze, Luther Burden, yeah, they're good young players. I don't think I don't think they're spectacular, huge playmakers, big difference makers right now. Maybe they grow into that, but I think these rosters are pretty similar right now.
Gabe, if I was to rank the receivers in this game, I'd go Watson 1, Odunze 2, and Burden 3.
Sure.
Which is fair.
I think, the Bears tight ends are better with no...
Loveland's good.
With no Tucker Kraft, yeah. Their tight ends are better than the Packers' tight ends.
Whose O-line's better?
Theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're supposed to be staying positive here, Josh. I've been doing a hell of a job over this last hour.
But whose running backs are better? Packers have the best running back.
Just because Swift hasn't been great against the Packers.
I just don't think he's ever really been great. Yeah, I just don't know if DeAndre Swift has ever been that great.
Yeah.
Right? So I think the Packers have better running backs, and the defenses, I think, are pretty pushy right now. Pretty. Going to struggle to get a pass rush. Maybe your athletic linebackers can make a play. Secondary is suspect.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, again, I'm looking forward to it. This is the team we wanted. This is the team I think the Packers can beat, and that's what I'm looking forward to coming up on Saturday night in Chicago. You can tune into the new season of Behind the Bucks podcast in the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Locked In, narrated by Bucks legend Marcus Johnson, takes you inside the team's pursuit of a championship. Hear from the Bucks stars on how competition is building chemistry and fueling another run to win it all. Find Behind the Bucks, Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and the new ESPN Wisconsin app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Josh said it's garbage.
I'm so glad that Josh is getting a front row seat.
He said it's garbage. It doesn't work.
Chewy.
Am I right or wrong?
We call that a setup in the biz.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chew, you said you wanted some positivity today, right?
Yep.
How about this for positivity? Congratulations to UW River Falls winning the Stag Bowl last night. They are the champions of Division III college football. 24-14 over North Central, a team that's been a dynasty. They've gone to six straight Stag Bowls, have won three of the last four. They've been a dynasty, and UW River Falls, they beat North Central last night 24-14. I was kind of flipping back and forth between the Sunday night game. That game was on ESPN. Some of these offensive numbers that UW River Falls puts up, they're staggering, Chew.
Yeah.
Just staggering.
And so, it's been a turnaround because they have not typically been good, right?
So the last time they made the playoffs was 1996. They had 20 straight losing seasons that ended in 2021. But they had 20 straight losing seasons at UW River Falls. That ended with Matt Walker. So Division III didn't play football. Their season was canceled in the pandemic year of 2020. Mm-hmm. And they took that time. Matt Walker, the head coach, he kind of reshifted the staff and started designing what they called the Top Gun offense, where they now play 85 offensive snaps a game.
Wow.
They play with tempo. They just want to run as many plays as possible, throw it, like just be as exotic as they possibly can be. Their quarterback, they going into November, they were averaging over 600 yards a game, but then you play in the playoffs, so then you know you're playing some good teams. But they ended up averaging 564.1 yards per game of offense.
It's all that young offensive coordinator. He was seemingly the one who changed everything with this approach where they just go fast as hell and try to score immediately.
Wow.
Caleb Blaha, their quarterback, accounted for 6,051 yards of offense, which is a new NCAA record.
Yeah, I would think so. Wow.
Between running and passing. Yeah,
good
it was
them, though.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable story to be that bad and to be in a conference that, you know, I mean, Whitewater's been good. Oshkosh has gone, you know, made some deep runs. Platteville was a top team this year.
Lacrosse is
always solid.
Yeah.
To be in that conference and then to go finish your season 13-1 and win a national championship. Again, first time they'd ever been in the playoffs since 1996. So almost 30 years since they've been in the playoffs. They end up winning it all last night.
Good for them.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. Just tells you how fun. I mean, again, you and that to me is the place to be experimenting in Division III. And apparently what they did, Chew, as well, is because they're so close to Minneapolis, they're like, hey, we're close to an airport. Let's recruit places other than just with like Wisconsin and Minnesota. So they've got like six or seven kids from Arizona on the team.
Do they really?
Yeah, because they've got the airport's the closest, I think, of anybody in the WIAC, where they've got a major airport that close where they can, you know, get direct flights out of.
And obviously, that's not scholarship. Those are non-scholarship kids. The
Correct.
Problem with that is I wonder if a lot of those kids will be pilfered by D2 schools.
Well, so their quarterback, Caleb Blaha, their quarterback, came from a Division II school where he was a wide receiver, came to River Falls, and ended up being the quarterback.
Really?
He played quarterback in high school, but he went to, I can't remember which Division II school in Minneapolis, but went to River Falls and ended up being their quarterback and literally the greatest season in NCAA history.
Well, sounds like that could be the new dynasty in the state.
I mean, if you're an offensive
player,
those
kind of numbers.
Yeah, if you're an offensive player, where do you want to go? 85 offensive snaps, Chew. You can feed a lot of mouths.
Do they even run the ball, or is it just
The quarterback? Blaha runs it a lot. The quarterback kind of ends up, but they spread it out, and you know the quarterback ends up being the runner most of the time in those situations. Just an unbelievable story.
Where is River Falls? I don't even think I've ever been there.
So it is. It's probably 10-15 minutes from the border. Like if you're driving on 94, you're going to drive through River Falls on your way to the Twin Cities.
Okay.
So you've driven, not necessarily past it, obviously, but you're going to get pretty close to it if you're driving up, if you go up to the Twin Cities, which I'm sure, I mean, obviously you have. You've gone up to the Twin Cities to visit your kids who have gone to University of Minnesota.
Well,
but it's up in up in that part of the state.
Kind of sad I missed the game.
It's fun.
It's fast and furious.
It's unbelievable. You think you've seen an offense that goes fast. You haven't. If you get a chance next year, somebody should go watch UW River Falls. Just do it. It's like a football like you haven't seen before.
I wouldn't think the offensive. Well, at least the offensive linemen probably don't like that style of play. But
if you look at their offensive line, not a lot of very big boys out there.
Really?
No.
Just get after it?
Yes, it is. I saw a team picture, and I was having trouble picking out who could be an offensive lineman because they didn't look that big.
Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, somebody's bringing a championship to the state, Chew. Thought that would warm your heart. A little bit of positivity. Hodag Steve says, he just turned the show on, said his someplace receiver at Stevens Point, Blaha can't get out of that bleeping conference fast enough. He's a stud. Hey, what a national championship. Plenty to break down throughout the course of the week. Look, today's Monday, but it's Tuesday for the Packers because they're playing on Saturday. Wildy and Tausch, they're going to continue to break it down for you. Coming up next on 94.5 ESPN.